Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point. Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
I got a question for you all out there right now. I was thinking about this the other day. How come there seems to be, you can disavow this if you want. How come there doesn't seem to be a clamor for Brock Purdy returning? Like a true number one quarterback is wanted to do. You got a number one quarterback, you just paid him. How come people aren't saying, we got to have Brock back? We got to have Brock back.
You know what? Before I answer, Rude, Mr. Rude, how about good morning?
I said good morning to you at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but it hit different. It sets the tone for the show. Good morning, partner. How you doing?
I'm fine.
All right. Now, back to your question. We got that out the way. I'm going to tell you from my vantage point, because that's all I can do. Stani, I think it's because they brought Brock back too early. Who'd forget the blame. It didn't go well. He played bad. So now I told you I would give him 6-5 weeks off IR maybe. So maybe that's why we haven't taken many calls. But when you brought this up, I thought to myself, we have not fielded many calls about we need Brock or else. I don't have an answer. I'm just telling you, I think it's because everybody's in the same boat about give that turf toe time to heal.
Yeah, I think
it's got to be, right?
Well, I think it's, oh, we got action? We got
what happened?
Well, I think it's mainly because, here's what I think.
Give it to me.
Well, I think there's a lot of different, oh, we got to get River Islands guest line?
Early.
Huh? All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? Let's go to River Islands in Lathrop. But first, let's go and see who's on the River Islands guest line.
A surprise.
Hello.
What's up? It's Chris Broussard.
Chris B. What's up, Chris?
The house.
Oh, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Hanging in, Chris. You kind of ruined our life out here in the Bay. Real quick, that tweet calling Mr. Steinmetz the media Larry Bird. His head is as big as Jack in the Box now, Chris.
I hate to say it, but it's true. He can ball. There's no doubt about it. Now, I'm the media Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay. There we go. I'm talking to Mike.
He is the media Larry Bird.
Listen, Chris and I used to do some damage back in the day. No doubt about it, man.
Oh.
If you don't know, let me just set it up. The Boston Chris. Media yesterday, usually media, some teams will have the media play against the media. Joe Mazzulla, the coach of the Celtics, kind of tricked the media into thinking they're playing a pickup game against the media. They ended up playing against this coaching staff. They got beat 57-4 and embarrassed any media player that's ever played basketball. And Chris Broussard tweeted out that back in the day, we used to have some pretty good basketball media players. Remember those days?
Yeah, man, look. I don't know that. I mean, we wouldn't have beat them. Mazzulla's a legit D1 player, played in West Virginia. I don't know if did Cassell play.
Yes,
Sam Cassell.
He did.
You know? Yeah, so they. But I will say this, Matt. I think we would have scored more than 4 points.
No
That's
doubt.
Y'all
saying.
Better have.
No
yeah.
doubt.
That's all I'm saying.
We would have been able to get the ball up court.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, golly. But that's so Mazzulla. Like, I know he did that on purpose, and he didn't let up, and, you know, he kissed blood on the floor and all that man. Stuff he talked about. That's strictly Mazzulla. Now they're kind of in a tough spot when they interview him and they want to rip a player or a decision. He's like, hold up. You shot 7 air balls against us. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I know
there was a method to the madness.
Yeah, I thought the funniest part was Jaylen Brown shouting down, hey, you guys going to do media after this? after getting beat 57-4. Hey, Chris, as long as I got you on the line, you know, I know you and Nick go back and forth a lot about Brock Purdy. And we just started our show before you came on, and it's kind of interesting out here. Mac apparently is playing well enough that there just doesn't seem to be a huge clamor to get Brock Purdy back on the field, like maybe another franchise type quarterback. I don't know. We're just batting it around. What do you think?
It's interesting. Look, I think Brock is better. He clearly, you can see with Mac that one of his limitations is just kind of lack of athleticism, ability to move. That's obviously something Purdy does well, extends plays. I mean, the win over Seattle, you know, some of these late game-winning plays he's made, that was all his athleticism that extended the plays. So Purdy's got him beat in that. But, you know, Jones with his size, and he's smart and he processes quickly. And those are the things that, you know, Kyle Shanahan liked about him even coming out of the draft. But here's the thing. Look, I like I said, I do think Purdy's better. And when he's fully healthy, get him back in there. I wouldn't rush it just because, you know, with the team's health situation right now, there's no need to rush him back because it's probably a lost season just because of the injuries. But it's not going to be a controversy. And here, even if Mac plays like great the next few games because of the contract, right? Like there's no way, like Purdy is set now. He's got that contract. If Mac Jones were to outplay him, then you're going to have trouble trading that contract, right? And so I just don't think for that reason alone, I don't see how it would ever become a real controversy because you're paying the guy $52 million. He has been great for you, obviously got you to the Super Bowl. And with that money, you're going to play him. It's as simple as that. And maybe, you know, Mac plays well enough where some other team will want him and bring him in as a potential starter, and you can make a good trade for him. But long term, there's no way I see this being a controversy.
You're listening to Chris Broussard, Fox Sports, and co-host of First Things First. We're talking Brock Purdy and Mac Jones.
Yeah, hey, Chris, I got to get real quick, give you your flowers. You, Nick, and Wiles, man, a lot's happening on TV, but you guys are a mainstay. I watch every day, so keep up the good work. And, you know, my partner, I got 3 kids like Steiny, and, you know, people, who's your favorite? I don't have a favorite, and I take that to baseball. We got the playoffs. The NBA is about to start. But, Chris, with social media in the NFL, is the beauty of it that nothing changes more than 1 week in the NFL? It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it really is. There's no question about it. And, obviously, they only play 17 games, so that's a big part of it. But even with that, you do have to have a bit of composure because it's the NFL. And I've said it before, like I'm talking about a Buffalo or some other elite team. They're going to lose a game or two or maybe more to teams that are worse than them, right? That just is how it is. You're going to lose. The elite teams aren't going 17-0, 16-1. They're going to lose a couple games to teams that are just worse than them. And you can't act like the sky is falling. But now with the media as it is, including shows like mine, including, you know, sports talk shows like you guys, because we're talking about it every day and then you got social media, everybody does overreact. But you got to try to keep composure because one game, you know, every team's going to have a bad outing or two during the regular season.
Hey, Chris, I'll get you out of here on this one. What were your expectations for the Niners before the season? And what do you see as kind of going down the rest of the year with 11 games left in their 4-2, but banged up?
I picked them to win the division. And that division is tougher than I expected. Obviously, I knew the Rams would be pretty good. Seattle's better than I thought. Darnold, I got to give him his credit. You know, I thought maybe he got lucky with Kevin O'Connell out there in Minnesota. He's really not that good. But he has shown that he's a legit franchise quarterback now. And Arizona is the worst team in the division, but they're not, you know, you can't just pencil in a win over them. So, I look, and this, guys, you know this, and I kind of have a question for you. With the Niners under Shanahan, it's always about the injuries. Hmm. When they're healthy, they're in the playoffs and making a run at the Super Bowl. When they're not, it's generally a lost season. And I look, they've done well to start 4-2 with all the injuries. You got a few guys coming back too. But I just think the losses on defense with Bosa and Warner are going to be tough to overcome, and not to mention how much longer Purdy might be out. But let me ask you guys, is there any talk out there? I mean, they are the most injured team in the league, and I'm just like, what is going on with the training staff out there? Because, I mean, every other year or every, you know, one out every 3 years, they get five, six, seven key players injured.
Yeah, we've been talking about that more and more over the years, and nobody's got the right answer. There's some theories about
price of a dynasty.
Yeah,
dynasty.
Maybe
Chris.
This is a result of playing a lot of long seasons. Some people have suggested that the way they practice in preseason, like they go harder than other teams.
Yeah.
You know, some of the guys are getting up there, Kittle and McCaffrey a little bit. But, you know, that's a caper out here too, man. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, look, I'd love to see him make the playoffs. I think it'll be tough with all the injuries at this point, though.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, appreciate your
thanks,
time.
Man.
I know you got a real job.
You created
and,
a monster.
Keep doing your thing, buddy. Wish you well.
I know he could barely fit into the studio this morning.
Fresh Flintstone right now, Chris. Yeah,
exactly. Nothing like a has-been reliving the glory years.
All right,
buddy.
All right, guys. Later.
Take care, man. Chris Broussard.
It's
first
official.
Things first.
Yeah.
They talk a ton about the Niners on that show.
But that question,
he likes Purdy.
Yeah, I think he does. I think it's unfair, right? We nobody can pinpoint why it keeps happening, these injuries to the Niners.
No.
It just, you know, it is what it is. And I told you, I think the chickens of the dynasty and play the almost dynasty, but what they've built since 2019 and how long they've played and where they've got to. What if I just tell you, Stoney, that's the price of doing business, man? And unfortunately, it's not over, quote unquote, but they don't have a ring to show for all the blood, sweat, and tears, man.
Yeah. If they ever solve that riddle, I think, you know, we'll all be
and I'm gonna leave you
better
one
off because we talk about it a lot.
So they're going to take the field what looks like without Brock Purdy. No Bosa, no Warner, no Brock Purdy. Would you have a problem if I said, basketball related, that's like no Steph, Dre, or Jimmy? They still got a chance to win, but from a visual standpoint, no Steph, Dre, and Jimmy with Fred, Nick, and Brock, right?
Well, here's the thing. If you're saying Purdy is Curry, then who is Mac Jones filling in for Curry? Because, again, if he's Curry, it looks like the Warriors' backup is, I don't know,
Kevin Durant.
Dennis Schroeder.
Right,
or like somebody pretty better than Schroeder.
Dunk.
But
do you think Mac's the reason we're not taking calls for people clamoring or even just lighting candles and opening up the Bible hoping that he can get back? Normally when your dude is that guy, it's just a thought, Steiny. Like, or is everybody on the same accord? Nah, just give them time. Nothing to see here.
If
this were Dallas and Dak or anywhere, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, get him back.
Yeah, I just think that it's a little bit interesting that the 49ers signed Purdy to this monster contract. He's the franchise quarterback. He's got turf toe. And now he missed two games, played. This is going to be what?
His third
game missed. So he's going to miss the first five of the first seven games. And I just don't sense we got to get him back out there. Like, and there's certainly not people saying, well, we have no chance without Brock Purdy. It just...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just gotten me to think, Goo, that, you know, if we were in another city, would people be saying things like, well, let Mac roll until he loses, or, you know, make triply sure that Brock Purdy is ready before you bring him back. Is this
the kind of luxury you want?
Is Lamar Jackson going to wait an extra week to make sure?
Is Joe Burrow going to wait
another week? No, when the starting quarterback's ready, he goes out and plays. Well, why is it different here?
They struck gold with a quarterback that could hold it down.
Well,
other cities, I don't think they have that at their disposal, you know? Is there something bigger when you think about it?
Well, I think some of it has to do with Purdy also. I think what we're hearing is, and this might be like, well, no kidding, Steiny, but he's not viewed as a Burrow. He's not viewed as a Lamar Jackson.
Well, he is your Lamar Jackson.
Okay, then why isn't there a clamor to get him back?
I believe because everybody saw him come back too soon, no blame, and now they know they don't want that to happen again. Now, I could be naivete, Steiny, but to me, I told you I would rest him 6 weeks. I said that, so how can I say anything else?
Yeah, you're not wrong for saying that. I just think it's fascinating. And the other thing is, it's like, and you could use this as a counter.
All right.
For goodness sakes, this is your guy. This is your franchise quarterback. Like, he was good for 2 or 3 years. He was so good that you paid him franchise quarterback money. But here we are, 6 games into the season. He's week to week right now. Right. I don't know. I think if we were in another city, we'd be asking, when's Purdy coming back? When's Purdy coming back?
Oh, man.
Do you think he can play this week? If he's 80%, would he go? What about next week? And there just seems to be an understanding or an acknowledgement here that Mac Jones is good enough. And when Purdy's ready, he's ready.
Or shout out to Uncle Looney in the chat, Steiny, this to you. It's because Purdy, and I think this is unfair, really doesn't elevate the team.
Okay.
Do you think that could be? No.
If that's what he thinks, that's what he thinks.
No, I'm asking you, all right, real quick, so let's put it right on the table, brought to you by Echo Pest Control. We talking quarterbacks. From what you've seen of Mac Jones, the inception of his 9-year career tenure, how big of the gap is it between Brock Purdy on a good day and Mac Jones? I'm not even trying to get to it. I just want your opinion on that. I don't think there's a big gap.
Okay, fair enough. My question is whether the gap is a foot or whether the gap is a mile. If Brock Purdy's better, why aren't people saying there are no questions here when he's healthy come back? No extra week. No, this or that.
I really believe it's the toe. I really do. The fact that Jacksonville, he looked bad. The guy, Cap Superman, came back and looked bad. I think that was a mistake. And that's why I believe it's quiet on the set as far as people not clamoring for him because they know this. Now, you could look at me like, Guru, you sound stupid. But don't you think it's got to be that?
That he came back too soon?
Yeah. Or if this were Steve Young in his prime or Montana, you would take 70% Steve or Joe, regardless of the backup at 100%. Normally, that's the mindset, right?
Well, I would
just
never
get him back there, Steiny. We need you out there, man.
Well, I would never just say it's one thing why somebody's doing or why fans are doing. Like my perception might be wrong. My perception is there's not a clamor for Brock Purdy to get back. Okay, why? Well, maybe one reason is they did bring Purdy back and he didn't react well, and so they're just giving him 3 or 4 more weeks. Yeah. Fine, but then we've also heard I think Mac should quarterback this team till they lose, and then when they lose, we can get Brock back. It's like like, I guess this is what I'm saying. In a way, when we talk about the backup quarterback,
he's the fans' best friend.
What do we say? That not only that, we say, you know, if you have a backup quarterback for 3-4 weeks, can he win you a couple games and keep you in it? But we also seem to say, you know, but if he quarterbacks 8-10 games, you're in trouble. Well, why is it? It just seems weird that Mac Jones has come in, done his job. He's done what a backup should do, win a couple games. Now Brock's healthy, hit the pike. hit the pike.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's something more going on here, and that's what I'm trying to kind of get at, Goo.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to just tell you how I feel, Stoney. I know it could be. They're 4-2 right now.
Yep.
But if somehow you get to the playoffs and Brock Purdy is in and out with this turf toe and you don't get it right, I'm looking you dead in the face, Donnie, on a good hair day. I honestly believe there could be a scenario to where we see Mac Jones be the starter for the Niners in a playoff game if they make it because of how trickle and fickle this turf toe injury is.
Well, that's fine.
Like, I feel like that's the track we're on, and people will be like, well, that's a miracle. We made it without such and such, but the Niners aren't done. And I watched that game again with Tampa, Stoney. When Fred went down, they still were in 20. We know it. 20-19, 3rd-and-15. So if you keep that up and somehow you make it, but Brock is not 100%, is there anything to be said about what you said a couple weeks ago? How long do you ride the hot hand? But then when you lose, it ain't the hot hand. Because Brock's really one pass away from Mac 1-2. What if he had lost that Arizona game on that interception? What it could have, should have. But, Stoney, what if they were 1-2 with Mac? You think everybody would still be feel secure with them back there?
Probably not. But I also know that just because he's 2-3-1, does it mean Purdy's job's in jeopardy?
No, Purdy's about health. His opposition right now is not the team. It's the toe. And if you come back, whenever that day does come, you give us another Jacksonville game, then, Stoney, you got to say we owe it to the team to play the healthier dude because your poor play is a byproduct of your toe.
I'm just saying, if people loved who Purdy was.
And you know they do.
Well, apparently they don't. Because Right. But the point is if you say, let's make doubly sure about Purdy's health.
Gotcha.
Like what or the fact that some sentiment out there is he should quarterback until he loses. Yeah. Like that's not normal for a quarterback one and quarterback two. The backup came in, he won a couple games. If Purdy were ready right now, like
Kyle would put his ass right in the game.
My point is this. Yesterday, Brock was more limited than Mac Jones. What if today, I don't know, Purdy feels good and Mac Jones is more limited?
I don't run that
way. Then he's got to go to Purdy.
No, but Stoney,
what do you mean,
because to me, if you were losing that battle to the backup in regard to health on Tuesday, what, 24 hours ain't going to...
Of course it can. Of course it can.
Okay, then what about Thursday? What about tomorrow if it swings back?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So that tells me it's so fickle and minute that I need to give Brock another week off.
And that tells me that you're in a situation where your quarterback, you don't feel like your quarterback is...
No, we're in good hands with Mac.
Okay.
But you're saying I'm saying something else with that.
Okay, let's put it this way. Yeah. If Mac Jones were quarterbacking the Baltimore Ravens, and you think they wouldn't want Lamar Jackson to come back?
Oh, my God. It's 65-70%.
So then acknowledge it's because Purdy's not as good as Lamar Jackson. Or it's because Purdy's not the kind of guy, like...
Well, with turf toe, I got a little irritated that we blame the turf toe, but now that I'm thinking about it, Stoney, that was a bad performance. I'll give you guys the win. It was because of the turf toe. We can ill afford to have that happen again, or maybe you can't control that. At some juncture, Brock, how do you feel? Coach, I can go, and he's afforded that. This is his gig. But what if he goes back there and can't overcome turf toe to be the best version of himself? What do you as a coach and what do? Do you say, hey, Brock, we know you think you can go, but we got to ride, Mac.
This is not
Like, I think all that's on the bingo card. I'm not trying to be messy, man.
To me, this has nothing to do with Kyle Shanahan and when he's going to decide to play Brock Purdy.
But you asked me a question.
It's about the fans. Mm. It's about the fans and the way they feel. And what I'm sensing is there is no urgency among the fans, or clearly not as much urgency among 49er fans, to get our star quarterback back on the field, because damn it, we're a better team with him. And that's what I'm wondering about. It's like, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is when he's going to replace Mac Jones. He's probably going to do it when he feels Brock Purdy's completely healthy. I'm just saying, I don't hear clamoring for, and you hear it also kind of in the media, and they're the same way. It's like, when's Brock? It's not just one. In other cities, they pound these coaches about, well, what's it going to come down to? How will you know if Brock's ready? What's Mac like? I don't know. It just Apollo feels like Cruz, everybody's just okay with Mac Jones, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it may be an indictment on Brock Purdy, all I'm saying.
I hear you preaching, and Stoney, I got to read this just real quick from Apollo Cruz in the chat. The players love Mac Jones, and from what I see, all right, I'll say it. But Stoney, does that mean anything at the end of the day?
Well, I think they love Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I'm not saying they don't.
888-957-9570 is the number. How come nobody wants Brock Purdy back?
Hey,
at 1 o'clock today, we're going to jump into the 49ers Falcons game. We got Brian Finneran joining us. He's a former wide receiver, played 10 years in the NFL, 9 with the Falcons. He's now a host on 680 The Fan. That's our sister station in the ATL. So we have Brian Finneran at 1, but we got to talk about the urgency of Brock Purdy coming back and whether or not there is any. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And don't forget, this Sunday, the kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale, starting at 3 o'clock. They'll have all the early games, and the beer garden's going to be open. DJ there, bartender serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. If you're going to the game, you can sign up for the free shuttle to the stadium right now. First come, first served. So go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com, and sign up now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He can ball, there's no doubt about it. Now, I'm the media Michael Jordan.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks to Chris Broussard.
Could he
FS1.
Who?
Yeah, he was good. He played Division III.
Take you off the dribble. He said Oberlin. Media Michael MJ. Damn.
Yeah, that's one of those things where
I love you, Chris.
I was better than him.
Seriously?
I think so.
Somebody, a little bird told me, you know the key to Steiny? This was after yesterday's show. I said, what? Let him talk about himself.
Of course.
Put him in a good mood. Of course. I was like, I gotta figure it out.
By the way, what were you guys talking about with this foxhole earlier? And then you said, Steiny, would you be in my
No. Spadoni and I were having a conversation as he left the morning roast. And we were talking about, you know, guys we'd like to have in our foxhole. Brought up Evan. Brought up Barry Switzer. We brought up some guys that, you know, you can count on. And then I say, Steiny, can I count on you in my foxhole? And Evan, he goes, no, you can't.
You can't.
That's sad.
I am a pacifist.
Yeah, except I don't know if you want me in your foxhole, to be honest.
I don't know why that bothered. What is going on here? Where am
Guru,
I
if you
deal?
And I were out and it all came down, I think I'd have to run away.
Wow.
Now, I probably wouldn't get very far.
Because you, Evan, and I, y'all don't, you know, I didn't tickle ass whooping or two, but I'm Draymond with us three.
I would like to end my lifetime career with a record of 0-0 in fights.
All right.
Physical fights.
Our bones don't heal as fast at this age.
All right. So one of the things we're talking about today is, you know, I just, thinking about Purdy and Mac Jones and Purdy, talking to the boss, and he's like, were talking about how, boy, it just doesn't seem like anybody's clamoring for Brock Purdy to come back. And I agree. I don't think there's clamoring for Purdy to come back. And now, we're starting to ask why. Uncle Looney, this is how I'm going to start the segment. Uncle Looney on the YouTube chat. Steiny, the difference between being a backup and a starter is not a large gap compared to other quarterback situations. So what Uncle Looney's saying, one of the reasons there's no clamoring for Brock Purdy is because Mac Jones is almost as good as him. Fair. And I said to him, I have no doubt that's one of the reasons, but I think there's many other factors. Would it be fair to say that a large segment of 49er fans are not all the way bought into Brock? Is that a possibility?
Okay. And real quick, how do you measure that? And are you saying, you know what, the lack of calls, that we're, you know, the lack of clamoring, or are you where I'm at? I honestly believe that setback that he had, that pain that he felt after his bad performance against Jacksonville, is a byproduct of why we're not hearing clamoring. And I told the boss that. I told you and Evan. Stoney, I do believe it. But, you know, you guys get mad at me when I go, when both of these guys were coming out of college, if you want to play that game, at that juncture, revisionist history, who had or who was the better quarterback? It was Mac Jones.
Well, he was evaluated far more highly.
But he played more highly, no like doubt. In college football, and now he's in quarterback heaven with the guru. So now is he tapping back into what he was supposed to be when he initially got drafted? I don't know, but I do have those thoughts.
Let's start us out with Kevin in Fremont wants to talk about this dynamic, and that's what I think it is. It's some kind of dynamic between Purdy and Mac Jones, and between Purdy and the fans, and Jones and the fans, et cetera. What's up, Kevin? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Here's the thing about Mac Jones and Purdy. It's simple in the sense that there's physiological differences. Mac Jones, the reason why he can play right now, the offensive line is putrid, by the way, for anybody.
Yeah.
They're all going to get killed eventually. But the reason why Mac Jones can play behind that, and Purdy, you don't want Purdy in there right now, and I'm not a Niner fan, I'm just speaking facts here. You don't want Purdy behind that line because without movement, he can't see over the line, and he's going to get his passes knocked down. Regardless, I know Mac Jones gets his passes knocked down, but he's bigger and he can throw harder, and he's stronger, and so he can get his passes over people much easier. Hmm. And because he can't move, it's okay. Even though he can't move, he can still strong arm it over them, and he's taller. Hmm. That's number one. So physiologically, you want Mac Jones in there because he can take it a little better.
All right.
Here's the other thing. You were talking earlier about how jobs can't get lost because of injury, and I'm not going to say that Pretty's going to lose his job because, like I said, no one's going to survive behind that offensive line right now. But here's the thing. Yes, you can lose your job due to injury, and the biggest example of that was when Pastorini went down and Plunkett took over and went to two Super Bowls and won them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
Houston,
Kevin, good, solid points, no doubt about it. Well, Guru, you know, like you have the Cowboys history on lock.
Yeah,
and you and Evan and the boss were talking about, didn't this happen with Dak Prescott?
It did.
Please explain.
Zeke Elliott's rookie year, Tony Romo never got a chance to hand the ball off to Zeke, and you think about what could have been because in the preseason game, Romo hurt his back. And a rookie out of Mississippi State, Dak Prescott, made his debut at Los Angeles Stadium against the Rams back then. Looked great. And Stoney, Romo wasn't back at the start. Dak quarterback won 2-3 games. They went 13-3, went to the playoffs. And during that season, week 7, week 8, it was Armageddon in Dallas because they didn't give the keys back to Tony Romo.
Did he start the season healthy?
No, he got hurt in preseason against Seattle.
All right.
So Dak takes over, looks good in the preseason.
6-2?
Yeah, 5-1. Okay. 4-2, and they just didn't give the keys back. They go to the playoffs, lose to the Rams, and Romo, that was it. Never played another down in the NFL, and Now you look 10 years later, you didn't get a Super Bowl. But my point is, that's the definition of riding a hot hand. I liken that to what Harbaugh did with Alex Smith and Kaepernick. So I'm not saying
Let me ask you some questions about Romo.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, was he in the later stages of his career?
Had he had the chance to play with Zeke Stoney, they would have went to the Super Bowl.
So looking back, do you think it was a mistake?
Oh, it's one of my biggest sports regrets and one of Jerry Jones' biggest sports regrets.
All right, fair.
But they made it and stood on it. They made that decision and stood on business.
Right.
But you got nothing for it? But okay. Three contracts and nothing, not even an NFC Championship visit.
Okay, so then now compare that. I want you to compare it now to the situation, or not now, but compare that to Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott.
Well, Cooper Rush went 5-1, but Steiner, his style was, you could tell the offense was pedestrian. There was he couldn't move, but he won. Okay. But you knew it wasn't, you couldn't taste success down the road.
So Mac Jones's 3-1 looked different than Cooper Rush's 5-1, kind of.
Physically, there was nothing Cooper did to make you forget about Dak. I'm watching Mac Jones. I'm just having these questions. Stan, I'm on your couch in your office, your medical office. Listen, I don't know if Brock can make the throws that Mac's making to Kendrick Bourne over the middle linebacker right in, and he has, don't get me wrong, but just consistently, Mac is slinging that thing. I'm not saying there's a controversy here because Norman Johnson told me, Stoney, son, always follow the money. So nothing's happening here. Shout out Buffalo Springfield, right?
Well, unless Mac Jones is better than Brock Purdy.
But if
Mac Jones is better than Brock Purdy, I'm just saying.
So do you get mad at me or scoff at the notion that when I say, hey, revisionist history, coming out of college, Mac Jones was better than Brock Purdy?
No. I mean, he was more acclaimed. I mean, I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm going to give that to you.
Brock's got the diamond ring on his finger, right, with the contract. So there's nothing to see here. Or are you telling me
there is something to see here if Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy is the starter? Then there is something to see. Mm. Is anybody willing to go that far? I don't know, but it doesn't seem like people are saying we gotta have Brock back. 888-957-9570. That segment was brought to you by Alameda County.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.